it's been, we were about a couple minutes late there today. That was fun, though. We welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Steve Energy Show. And this is the 17th, 2 days past the day we give money away to pay on the interest on the national debt. And, boy, oh boy, I was out there running that bulldozer today. I'm trying to get this Ustream up and running, but I think Steve's there. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am.
What the heck you been doing all week, man?
There's some new energy coming through the room, and I'm not sure what it is, so we need to discuss it on the air and find out exactly what it is.
Yeah, I want to know what it is.
Absolutely. You want me to talk about now?
Yeah, go ahead, right on in there while I figure out why my Ustream isn't coming up.
Okay. What's happening is that with a flamethrower on the wall,
right,
I have a liquid energy. It
wow.
feels like liquid energy that's coming all the way through the room, through two projectors, through the flamethrower, and it stops right at the the crystal, my
wow.
big crystal. So I'm not sure what it is, Fred. It's awfully powerful.
Sounds pretty cool.
It's really sharp. And so three-quarters of the room is filled with this liquid. It looks, it feels like liquid, Fred, but it's. I can't explain it. You can put your finger in it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you can put your finger in it and then pull it out, and it's a liquid. And it just bounces off your finger.
Wow, that sounds really cool.
So I'm not sure what it is. It's got to be. It's just powerful, Fred. I can't explain it.
Wow.
And that's the new energy that that we're dealing with now. So I'm just not sure what it is. It feels good. But it's just extremely powerful.
Sounds like you're playing around with some plasma or, plasma or, what do we call it? Ectoplasm, possibly.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's quite interesting. It's something that I've only seen once before.
Right.
But that was, I think it was about almost 20 years ago. But this is this fills up the room, three-quarters of the room, Fred.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I'm restarting one of my computers. Those of you who like to watch the show out there, that you'll have to wait. I restart. I have a problem getting on Ustream, so I'm restarting that right now. So, yeah, so that's how do you like it? Does it feel warm and fuzzy?
It feels warm. It feels, there's got to be a better word than fuzzy. It feels almost euphoric.
Wow. Yeah, that's what we have a term in physics. When we deal with quantum fields,
okay.
We often call them fuzzy fields.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That's why where that term comes from, you know.
Okay.
And pretty neat.
It's pretty new stuff for me. I mean, I felt it 20 years ago, but not this intense.
Yeah. Well, you know, it changes a lot. You know, we were slowly but surely assembling the parts for your white flamethrower.
Right.
And also, slowly but surely, my kids are out here now. I was going to have them on tonight, but there's no sense in getting them on unless everybody can see them until I get this Ustream thing going. But anyway, yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, the room.
Your energy sounds a little better than last week. I know you had a slight cold last week.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling 100%.
Hitting
I'm
all,
doing
on
really
all
good
two
this
cylinder.
Week.
Are you a two-cylinder, a V8 or a V12 or a V16 or what?
What's that again?
Are you a V2, a V12, or a V16?
In terms of?
How many cylinders do you have?
Oh, man. If there was 36, I'd be 36.
Wow. Did you get your car out yet?
Oh, yeah. It's out. It's running.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you're getting ready to drive on out here now, huh?
Oh, I'd love to come out there, Fred. You got enough room for me?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Cool.
After my daughters leave, you can come out and stay in the guest house for a few days. How would
Wonderful.
You like that?
Oh, you got both your daughters there?
Yeah, I got them both here from England.
Oh, how nice.
Trying to get them on the show, but I'll just keep going here and see if we can get them on. We were out moving some dirt today, and now I'm not used to this. I'm so used to it being dark, you know, that I figured, well, it's probably got to be 5:30. You know, I better go up and get the show ready.
Right.
Mikkel comes running down into the orchard. Hey, Fred, it's 6 o'clock, man. Their show's starting. I was just like, oh, man. I next time I'll wear a watch. I guess this show's worth waiting for with you on it, right?
Well, it was really great. I asked him, I said, do you want me to start the show without Fred? He says, no, we'll wait a minute or two.
Yeah, it's okay. It was only a couple minutes late.
Yeah.
And I got my other sidekick here.
Oh, Bella Bird?
No, Bella's not here. She's in the other room underneath a a cupboard. She's had some issues with, you know, springtime issues and hormonal things.
Oh, I see.
She wants to go lay an egg in a dark place and sit on
okay.
it. So I've got her husband here, who's very, very talkative. He's going to be joining us on the show in a minute. He's starting to talk now. It's
Wonderful.
His birthday on the 23rd, you know.
Great.
He's a Gemini, which I think is pretty cool.
That's sharp. How's Mikkel doing?
Oh, she's fine.
Fantastic.
That's been a little slow lately. We've been catching up on our shipping. But business-wise, I don't think people were spending much money this week because of the having to give away money for the national debt interest on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you get your national debt interest payment in?
Nope.
In other words, income tax?
Oh, income tax?
Yeah.
No, they actually had to pay me this year.
You lucked out, huh?
Yeah, I lucked out this year.
Did you get quite a bit?
No, just enough to pay for my first quarter, and we just kept it with the government, so we didn't have to pay the first quarter.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to get I'd show it. I got this great big giant ripping $35 check here from the Treasury Department.
Oh.
From last year. I guess that was my stimulus package, right?
Uh-huh.
$35, man, I can spend, that's a lot of stimulus for me.
Yeah, that'll cause an inflation.
That's actually $37.57.
Wow.
Now that will. I thought it was supposed to be $800, but they probably just kept the rest of it towards next year. That's what we always have them do, like you do, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, give Caesar what's Caesar's.
Yep.
And there it is, a great big giant. Show it to everybody, but we're not on the air yet with the video. I don't know what happened to my Ustream today.
Oh.
Twittering, you know, that seems to be what everybody's doing now.
Twittering,
yeah. Have you Twittered today?
No, I haven't Twittered nothing.
Okay. Well, they had a big contest between Ashton Kutcher, I think it was. I think it was him, and CNN.
Mm.
And I guess she could get 1 million people following him. I guess he beat him by about 4 or 5 hours.
Oh.
Which is pretty cool.
I'm having fun with this new energy. It's in my house also, so.
Really?
So, yeah, it's in my house also.
Oh, good.
So I'm playing with it now as we're speaking.
Well, when did you get your first system anyway?
Excuse me?
So when did you get your first system?
The first system?
Yeah, your first projector system.
Oh, my God. I think I was either the first or second person to get the projector system from you.
You were right after Abraham Lincoln died then.
I think maybe I was the first. I remember getting it a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you know, finding out what it'll do. So I was calling you every day to tell you the new stuff that was happening.
Right.
And so it's been happening all along, you know, and this new energy that's coming through is very powerful.
Oh, that's hot.
It looks like different multidimensional stuff. I mean, it's just different. Very different.
Okay, now we're going to be able to go on the air, everybody.
There's a lot of light in it, Fred.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I've got the... I got the broadcast going, recording started. Now we're officially on the air now. We've got our Ustreamers can start joining us, too.
Terrific.
A lot of people like to Ustream this show.
Terrific.
Well, we're now recording and we're now live, and you can go to Pyridyne.com, and Buddy's on my shoulder here, and he's got a lot to say. Do you hear him talking in the background?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's energized by the receptor. I've got the receptor on. Boy, you want some receptor energy? Ooh, yeah, he likes that.
Mm.
Yeah, so luckily I've got a backup now when Bella is, you know.
That's great.
The wrong
time
sounds
happy.
For her to do the show, I guess.
He sounds very happy.
No, he's real happy. Got the sun shining through. We have to work on some lighting stuff around here too. This is kind of funny. You know, if I put put my hand over the camera, it's not so bright. You can almost see outside here today. Every time I shine the camera out so people can see, it's usually too bright. I don't know if it's still too bright. Yeah, it's still too bright outside. I'm going to put Buddy on. He's right here. That's Buddy Boo. Oh, yeah. He likes, I'm wearing a pyramid today, Buddy. Have you got your pyramid on?
No. You want me to go get it? I can get it, put it on.
It's up to you, you know. I like to always wear some kind of a hat, but the pyramid is, put a little shade thing over here. Pyramid is absolutely recommended. If you're not wearing a receptor. Now, I'm wearing both.
Yeah.
It's called the double whammy whammy. You have your receptor on?
Yes.
Okay, then you're in pretty good shape then.
Yeah.
So what'd you do all week?
I've been playing with this new energy. I've been playing with some other energy in the room. I'm doing a lot of different things. You know, I was really glad to get my car out, and I couldn't wait till... I love my clients, but... I couldn't wait for them to leave so I can get and play with my car.
Yeah, how far do you have to go to get your car?
Oh, I got it at home now. I just park it out front, put a tarp on it, and just leave it out front. There's no trouble here, so you know where I live.
That's good.
And so tomorrow I'll be up around 6:30 in the morning, fire it up, and just take off.
So where are you going?
Probably up to Niagara Falls.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to jump over?
No, not really. I'll go to the American side. It takes too long to cross over there. I mean, it could be an hour and a half before you can get over to Canada now.
Really? What happened?
Well, they're really cracking down. They put, about a year and a half ago, they tore up the bridges. They're tearing up the Lewiston Bridge now. And what they're doing, they're putting microphones and very, very... whatever else they're doing there,
yeah.
And they can pick up on anybody's conversation crossing the border.
Crossing the bridge?
Oh, yeah.
So, in other words, in their car?
Yep. If you say something wrong, they'll stop you right at the border.
Really?
Oh, man. Quicker than you can say Uncle Sam.
No, you're in your car.
Yep. They can hear everything you say right in the car.
That's pretty cool, because I'm writing about that in my book right now.
You are.
This week I was writing on my homeboy from Michigan, who both of us went to the University of Michigan. That would be Kelly Clarence Johnson, who built the Starfighter, the 104, the P-80, which is a shooting star.
Okay.
He built the U-2, the SR-71, and then Ben Rich came in as a junior guy. And after Kelly left, Ben Rich continued on with the F-117 stealth aircraft.
Right.
I've been writing about those guys in the program leading up to the satellite harassment program. So I've covered several of the companies that manufacture this equipment that you're talking about that do what you were saying was done.
Right, right.
So,
well, they've torn up all the bridges up there for the past few years, and they weren't discussing it, but they were discussing it on the radio, what they were doing. Underneath there, they were putting in very sensitive microphones so they can hear whatever kind of equipment it is to pick up conversations. And also, I don't know if they're using any X-ray stuff, you know, to pick up on any kind of drugs or whatever.
Yeah, cool.
You know, so it's they're cracking down pretty good.
Excellent.
Yep.
Oh, I see what the problem is. They don't have over on BBS radio. They didn't start the stream yet. Hey, Seth, if you're listening back there, get that stream going because we're up and running now, and they're just showing a slideshow, which nobody wants to see. Everybody's seen that. And if you want to go over to Paradigm.com, I'm sure it's playing over there too. But evidently, it didn't get up on BBS radio.
Well, let's give Matt some phone numbers just in case.
Yeah, I will. Anybody wants to call in?
Yeah, it's 1-877-876-5227, 1-888-815-9756, and direct would be 1-530-876-9146, and worldwide would be 888-815-9756.
Sounds like we have a caller, and I don't know if we have a caller that's on my line. Is there a caller there on BBS? I guess not. We got the, because I don't have the same system I had in Laguna Beach. The you know, the system here runs through the phone system. So if somebody's calling in on this line that we use for our radio line, then it makes it sound. So I can't tell whether it's a BBS caller or somebody just trying to use this line, which is blocked right now. Now this bird is really feeling the energy. You hear him talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good energy.
That's great. It sounds like he's very happy.
Oh, he's been happy. He's been working with me on the book.
That's great.
Yeah, he loves to just hang out with Dad. My two daughters, you know, we hadn't gotten in the pool yet, and my daughter's got, we got this new pool guy out here, and he's got the pool really nice now.
Mm-hmm.
Still a little cold, but, you know, they're from England. It doesn't bother them any, so they were out swimming in the pool today.
Wow.
Now, these are the two of my daughters that were born in the pyramid, you know.
Really?
Yeah, one's 22 and one's 24, and then neither one of them's ever been sick, ever.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's the way it works. They've had a few colds and not even much of a cold, just very... Mm-hmm. Rarely, you know, and they're out in England where there's lots of colds to catch.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
They were born inside the pyramid?
Yeah, at home, yeah. The one like you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
I wish that Seth would put this thing up on the Ustream because I'm losing a lot of my viewers tonight. Do you want to call him on another line?
Yeah,
well,
I'm
going to
call him on another line. I'm going to be going for about a minute or two. Let me just call him and get it situated.
Okay, great. Okay. I'll go ahead and just talk a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm going to talk about the Mac Earls because last week we started to talk about it, and then we had a caller, which was great, but we never finished. So go ahead and take your time there. Yeah, a lot of people that... use our systems need a master crystal, and the best master, you know, the only master crystals that really work with, you know, not just for our systems, but that you need them for protection, because they protect your house. If somebody's coming up to visit your house, it's not, you know, invited. Like say somebody that doesn't know you, but saw some nice TV set or something in there that you might have, or a computer, and decided to make a surprise visit in the middle of the night. Well, the master crystal deals with those kinds of energies and stops them, because what it does is it generates a frequency that goes into their heads, and when it goes into their heads, it makes them paranoid for some strange reason. It's really actually a quantum tunneling effect, but a lot of people haven't understood it that way. So last week we were talking about the most powerful healing crystals in the world. And these are called Mac Earls. And Mac Earls, what they do is when you have a normal crystal, it grows under the ground and doesn't move. It stays in the same place growing for millions of years. And then what happens is when you pull it out, like if it's a cluster, you'll see this like sleet on it. You know, it's like... snowflakes kind of all over the face of it, and it's always on one face of the crystal. You're laying down looking at a cluster that's flat on the floor, let's say it's a foot square, the sleet will all be in one direction. And so this is going towards the north. Well, with Mac Earl, what happened with Mac Earl was the crystals, they grew, at first they shifted 180 degrees while they were in the ground, which normally they would crush when that happens because of the pressure, and they would later,
Fred,
millions of years later, be found as shards when they finally were discovered. Well, these didn't. These crystals didn't do that. They made a 180-degree switch, and they didn't break. The next thing that happened was they went upside down. They flipped over. So when they discovered them, they were on the ceiling of a cave. You know, in the ceiling of a cave, next to another mine, as the Jimmy Coleman mine, And that mine was just a low-grade quartz mine that they used for material for the semiconductor industry in Semicon Valley. And, of course, so when they found these things, they were incredibly clear. They were like icicles hanging upside down, and they had to be very careful that they didn't fall off and land on their heads, which is another miraculous thing that happened, you know, that the fact they were on the ceiling of the cave and didn't fall down in, onto the bottom of the floor of the cave, which they didn't do. And all total, they got about 6,000 pounds of these things.
Wow.
Yeah, and so when we pulled them out of the mine, we put them up to a quartz light. Somebody did. I don't know who it was. And they were the only crystals in the world that when you looked at one, say that there's a point that's, say, 8 inches long and maybe 5 inches in diameter and weighs 5 pounds. You'd look at it in this light, and it would have these blue feathers, look like blue feathers inside.
Okay.
Only quartz that had that, and that's the oxygen that's trapped in this crystal. That's why it's the only crystal in the world. You hold up to a quartz light or a very bright light, and it will, you'll see blue feathers in it. So that was the second thing. So then what happened was we pulled it out, and it became very valuable because it was such incredible clarity. And so all the collectors, including myself, spent all our money on it. You know, so the 6,000 pounds went pretty fast. And it was selling at that time for $2,700 a pound on the average. Now think about that. A one-pound crystal was $2,700. And some of it was going as high as $3,500. Imagine that. Now you've got crystals. You know what a pound of crystal is. About four times the size of your thumb would be a pound, and about twice as long. So that being said, it got very valuable. So over the years, all the collectors, some of them decided to sell it. And it started being sold by the gram. If you can imagine that, somewhere between $5 and $10 a gram. So that meant that a 1 pound point could easily top $6,000. You know, it's like more valuable than gold. And as the clusters, there were some clusters. You know, the things that have like look like, you know, there was no sleet, by the way. There was no sleet on this. The clusters grew out, and they looked like flowers. And, you know, if you look at quartz flowers, they were beautiful. They, instead of going straight up like a normal point would do on a cluster, where a cluster would have maybe, say, 30, 40, 50 points, these would go up maybe 6-8 inches and start making a right-angle bend and go out a foot or two, so they look like a flower. Imagine, you know, like a leaf kind of shape. And so those went for those go for $250,000 now. When say a 25-pound crystal could be $250,000. They were sold back then by Ron Coleman for around $50,000-$60,000 even then. But I could say they've gone up. And we are blessed here to have a 40-pound master crystal of a Mac Earl, clear from one end to the other, flawless. Now, what do you think that would be worth? A master crystal weighing 40 pounds, it's a Mac Earl. Any idea? I really couldn't. What do you think, Steve? What should that sell for?
Oh, God, that probably, I would say at least $20 million.
No, it wouldn't be that much. It wouldn't be that much. It would be, you know, computed by the weight, it's $6,000 a pound. It'd be, let's see, 6,000 a pound, weighs $240,000.
$240,000.
Yeah. And that's what it would have gone for on the day's market. Well, I've got it up for a lot less money, but somebody really wants to get a real, it's probably the biggest point they ever pulled out of there. You
that's
know?
Amazing.
And I was lucky to come by it a while back. Well, I got a bird that just loves it. This bird is going crazy over my, chain on my receptor. I've never set up. I don't know if I didn't have or not. It's a 4-millimeter chain. What are you doing with that chain? This bird loves it. This bird's the first time he's been around a receptor. He's going crazy over it, you know. Did you get a whole chance?
Yes, I did. What he told me was is that he's not receiving anything on your end.
I wonder why not.
I don't know. He said his end is okay.
Wait a minute, here we go. Start broadcast. All right. The broadcast button wasn't pushed. Now it's working. I don't know. It jumped off there for a minute. I've been recording it all along, so it'll be on the thing, but now the broadcast is going. Yeah, suddenly we've got a bunch of viewers just popped in. Okay. I don't know. I had a lot of, you know, today was one of those days where it was a good day, but it was a strange day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bella Bird missing her first show, me being late, and then Buddy had to take her place. Buddy, what are you doing with that chain? He really likes the chain.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's a chain bird.
He must be feeling the energy.
Yeah, he's feeling something. I'm going to
see
if I can move this camera over a little bit here. Right. Maybe I can put it over here out of the sun. We'll get a better picture here. We were having a real problem with it. Let's see if this doesn't work. Yeah, this studio, you know, is not, I've been working so much on my book that the studio is not really set up like it was in Laguna Beach.
Mm-hmm.
It was really set up cool there. We haven't had the time to really get it all set up like we will. Now we're getting down. That was pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't know where. See this? There was no sound. Now all of a sudden the sound is coming through Ustream. The sound didn't even come on.
Huh.
I think Ustream's got some technical problems tonight. I apologize for that little deal. But suddenly the sound kicked in. You know?
Yeah.
So
know,
anyway, we're getting there. We're getting there. By the end of the show, we'll have it going pretty good.
Yeah. You know what was very interesting? When I was at your home in Laguna Beach, and you put on that crystal show, I thought that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, my daughter will be here next Friday. I'm going to make sure we time this a little different.
Okay.
And because she's the one, well, Megan is here, and let me see if she's around. Is Megan here? No, I guess they can't hear me. Because I'm way down the other end of the building. Megan was one that became invisible using the MicroStar.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes, you were telling me about that.
I think you saw the...
Yes, I did. I saw the picture of it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Welcome, Ustreamers. There's a lot of you tuning in now. I see the numbers stacking up. We had a little problem with Ustream tonight, so you'll be able to get the first part of the show in the archives after it's archived probably by tomorrow. And we got Buddy Bird here. I'm just introducing. Buddy's on tonight. Bella's in the time of the year where she thinks she needs to lay an egg and sit on it. So she's underneath a cabinet out in the living room and refuses to come out. It's a dark under the cabinet. And anybody that goes near her gets a bite.
That's amazing.
Them a nice bite, you know, including Mikkel, who actually owns the bird.
Amazing.
So anyway, Buddy is just going crazy over the chain. So anyway, we've been covering this. This book is coming along. It's going to be not much smaller than the Rays of Truth Crystals of Light. Now I figured it was going to be about half that size.
Wow.
But I think we're going to push 500 pages here pretty easy.
That's amazing, Fred.
Yeah, the typewritten manuscript's over an inch thick. You know, and that's small type, 8.5 by 11, full pages.
Yeah.
In a book, it'll go down to about 9 by 10 or something, whatever size with the death of the Rays of Truth is. But it's really coming along, and I was really amazed. One of the things that I remembered that I discovered today in my research was when I was working at the University of Michigan, and I had a teacher back there. His name was Dr. Donald L. Katz, and he got his degree in 1927 in engineering and at the University of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my dad was going to school then; probably knew him because in those days, you know, the campus was a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I was attending there. He became a full associate, actually a full professor, I don't know, probably in the 40s or 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I was one of his students in the Randolph lab that we had the cyclotron, we had the synchrotron, and a lot of atom smashing equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, Steven Eberbaugh, who was back in my life now, he's working with me on the X1 project. He and I went to junior high together, and he went off to MIT, and then he worked on a lot of classified projects for the government in Africa and all over the world and satellite communications.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we reunited, but back then we were just kids, and so I was working in the Randolph lab with several different professors, but mainly under Dr. Katz. And Dr. Katz, by the way, got 24 worldwide awards in 1983. He was given one of the below the Nobel Peace Prize by Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was honored to be, you know, graced by his presence and taught by this man. This man knew his stuff. And as a result, we worked on what was called the Philadelphia Experiment.
Oh, yes.
But the Philadelphia Experiment wasn't called the Philadelphia Experiment then. The Philadelphia Experiment got a name, I think, from the people over at what do you call it back there, that radar site that was up there in northern New York in Long Island. Those guys kind of got the Philadelphia Experiment going, and it was the beginning of stealth technology. And what happened was, and I was writing about this today in my book, strangely enough, because I was writing about Kelly Johnson and stealth aircraft over at Area 51 and how they founded it and the size of it and the experiments that went on there. I was writing all that stuff. It goes in the book. And so what happened was these minesweepers, which were wooden boats, would come through the Bermuda Triangle about a mile apart during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wooden boats, but of course they had, you know, their motors and their electronics gear and their radios and, you know, their toilets and all that stuff made out of metal, but the ship hull was wood.
Mm-hmm.
But the metal got magnetized, you know, because when you rub a nail with a magnet after a while, you'll end up getting a nail that's magnetic or magnetized. And that's what would happen with the ship sailing across the meridians of the Earth, you know, south of the equator, typically, like down in the Philippines and that. So they would be going through the Bermuda Triangle, and as they went through the Bermuda Triangle, they would be visually seeing each other, but they would not be connected on the radar. They would suddenly just be invisible to each other on radar.
Right.
So that what happened with that was, I'm going to adjust my camera here a little bit. I'm finally seeing it. It's not pointed right. So what happened was they began to do experiments. Now, these guys were going up to Norfolk, Virginia, and they were going to Philadelphia Shipyard.
Yes.
You know, the one in Philadelphia, that's where they would, that's where they'd work on the ships.
Wasn't that called the Eldridge?
Yeah, the USS Eldridge.
Right.
I should have worn my USS Eldridge hat today. I've actually got a piece of equipment from that ship over in Laguna.
Do you?
I have a Leeds and Northrop strip chart recorder that was taken off the Eldridge by one of the crewmen.
Mm-hmm.
Back in when they scrapped the boat in 1948 or so, I forget when it was, somewhere around in there. And I have it, and it's like in brand new condition. I was going to put it on eBay, but and I even have the history of this particular Leeds and Northrop recorder, and it was called a controller.
Mm-hmm.
And what this piece of equipment did was it controlled other different energizers for these magnetic fields and these different fields that they turned on and off to create the effect of teleportation, which wasn't what they were trying to do, but that's what happened when it went up to Norfolk and then back down to Philadelphia. When that happened, this recorder was in charge. It was in charge of doing all the switching operations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, is it Steve?
Yes.
Steve and Dr. Fred and Buddy Bird. Hey, Steve and Dr. Fred, it's Kirk. How y'all doing?
Oh, how you doing, Kirk?
Doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. I am. I'm calling you. You know, I'm calling you from my new place down here in Corpus Christi, Texas. I'm down here on the beach now.
Did you move down there or what?
Well, my company moved me down here, and they have put me in a two-bedroom condo right on the beach, and everything is paid for.
Oh, you must be really suffering.
I'm saying, you know, it's like, I tell you, it's like ever since I started using your products, everything just seems to work out in my favor. You know, I really see the effect of, you know, the different products that I've had, you know, since I've started working with your products and your different energies and stuff. And I got to say, you know, I'm a living example. I've got my own place on the beach paid for. How can you can't beat that?
No, and I remember when you first started purchasing, and Kirk, by the way, is one of our better clients who spends tens of thousands of dollars at Paradigm. And I remember when he was sweating to buy a $700 sterling silver receptor. You remember those days?
I remember those days, and I tell you what, it's the best $700 I ever spent, I'll tell you that. I'm wearing it right now. I've got it and my projector on. I'm sitting here. I'm looking, you know, my newest thing is I bought this MicroStar.
Yeah, I know. How's that going? That's a $5,000 piece of gear right there, you know.
I'm sitting here looking. I've got the laser pointed right into the, you know, the center crystal ball of it, and I'm sitting there looking, and man, that thing looks funky when you look into it like that.
It'll take you right out of your body, you know. It's famous for that.
I can feel, I'm sitting right here in front of it. I just sat down in front of it, and I can feel the energy coming off of it. Unfortunately, I haven't had a whole lot of time to work with it because I've just been so busy, you know, but that's one of the things I was wanting to call about tonight was to see what your different thoughts on it are, and also I was going to talk to Steve about possibly, I've got my standalone projector, my star orb, and the fire star to see if they're placed correctly in the room, you know, in the room that I stay in.
Yeah, all three are connected. There's a lot of light. It's over on the left side of the room. It needs to be more centered.
Okay. Yeah.
Your projector needs to be lowered about 6 inches.
Okay, it needs to be lowered?
Yes, it has to be lowered about 6 inches.
I'm gonna have to find something to put it on. But so maybe I can move the MicroStar over a little bit and lower.
MicroStar is okay. I'm getting it's okay.
Okay.
It's the projector itself a little bit. You know what you can do? Instead of moving it down 6 inches, take the projector and aim it down about a degree or 2 degrees, no more.
Right.
And that should actually bring the projector and the light right into the center of the room.
All right, I've got it there.
There you go.
Yeah, did you have a wall? You can mount that thing on the wall, you know. We have a wall mounting system for them if you don't have it. It's just holes in the plastic.
Yeah, I've got some hooks and stuff to mount it on the wall with. I was thinking about doing that. I mean, there's like a spot up here in the corner, you know, where the ceiling and the wall meets, that would be a good spot. But I just, you know, I want to make sure it's placed in the correct position.
Okay,
and
what you want to do is stand in the center of the room. I think you'll feel a lot of light right in the center of the room.
Oh, I feel a lot right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that movement just helped the room an awful lot.
Yeah, I can definitely feel it. I feel a lot more coming off the MicroStar than I do the projector. But, yeah, I can definitely feel the energy in this room is really intensified.
Right.
Yeah, God, I feel like a warm feeling going through my body.
Yeah, well, that's the light. Remember when I told you in my room with the four projectors, there was a ball of light right in the center of the room, and that's what you have right now. It's a big ball of light. So it's very strong and very warm.
Yeah, boy, it feels nice. I like this.
Good. good.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Fred, as far as working, you know, with the MicroStar and everything, I mean, you know, I would eventually like to become a contactee and, you know, maybe do anything like that, you know, work with my aura, tune my chakras. You know, I've read about it in your book and everything. I don't know exactly, you know, how my MicroStar is attuned, but I don't know any type of information or advice you have for me would be greatly appreciated.
Well, I think what part of you're in Corpus Christi now?
I'm here for a while. I'll be here probably at least until the end of the year.
Oh, that's a pretty good stay.
Yeah.
Are you working down there or what?
Yeah, I'm working. You know, I work in the wind energy business, and we're putting up a huge farm down here.
Oh, that's way cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, the phase we're working on now is supposed to last until the end of the year, and then they're going to start a second phase after that. So hopefully I'll be able to stay here for that one, too.
Yeah, are you drinking much Shaowuzi at all?
I was just looking at it. I always drink my Shaowuzi, except for the last few days I haven't been drinking it.
Yeah, that keeps your chakras really tuned in. But what I would do, you know, I don't know, I would start meditating on some extraterrestrial race. Have you got a particular group that you've read about or heard about that?
Well, here's what I told Mikhail this a few months ago. I was meditating and I was concentrating on Semyasi herself, you know, and I felt myself coming up out of my body. And that way, I had never felt that before, you know. I mean, I really, when I started attuning to Semyasi herself, I like to think it was Semyasi that was, you know, kind of tuning into me. But I felt myself, you know, honestly rise up out of my body.
Yeah, well, that's a quantum field that you're feeling when you see. We didn't know about this stuff when I became a contactee. We just did what felt we were supposed to do. We didn't have a scientific explanation for it like we do now.
Uh-huh.
So what I recommend is that that you continue on meditating on her name, but I would leave it open for the fact that probably somebody else from the Pleiades will become into your life.
Right.
And then secondly, how much time do you spend outdoors?
Pretty much all day.
Yeah, I mean, how about at night?
At night, I go out on my balcony, and what I'll do is I'll sit out there, and the wind kind of blows in off the ocean. Like I said, I'm right on the beach. I mean, I look down and watch waves come in every night. And it's a very peaceful, relaxing feeling to sit there and, you know, to feel the wind blow on you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. What's the temperature like down there right now?
So right now it's probably in the upper 60s.
Oh, it's pretty warm.
Oh, yeah, it's real warm.
That's 68 here. That's probably 80 today, so guys are getting the same weather we are probably pretty much.
Yeah, we got some rain and stuff the past couple of days, but overall the weather in Corpus Christi is very hot, you know, and it's, now we're coming up on summertime, so.
Mm-hmm.
Does the temperature drop much during the rain?
No, it's pretty much steady.
Yeah. Secondly, do you have a lot of lasers yet?
I have the one laser for the MicroStar, and that's it.
Yeah, you need to. I would start ordering. Do you have a Master Crystal down there?
No, I don't.
Where's your Master Crystal?
I don't have one.
Yeah, you pretty much. Would really, and you have a fire star though, right?
I've got the MicroStar, yes.
Okay, you don't have the big fire star.
No.
Okay. The fire star is the one that really zeroes in on the extraterrestrial. It's an aura extender. What the MicroStar does is that it hooks up your environment. It hooks you to your environment. So that seems to be what it's doing. It's hooking you into your condominium. It's hooking you up to your... Is that a brand-new condominium, or is it pretty new?
No. It's old. It's probably 25 years old.
Okay, so what it's doing then is it's getting the vibe out of the people that lived there before you. Are you using a lot of sage incense yet?
No.
Okay. You need to go to the local incense or health food store and get some sage incense.
Sage, yeah, because that's a cleansing incense, right.
Cleansing incense, which the Indians always use in their sacred ceremonies, and it will work with the microstar. But then what you need to do is get a fire star with a full laser complement. I've got a guy, his name is Joe Randazzle. He's up in Canada. He bought a fire, he was like you, didn't have a lot of money. He's done very well. He bought a fire star from us 25 years ago. About 25 years ago. And set it up in his closet. It's kind of like a big giant closet, like a dressing room almost.
Mm-hmm.
He was like Steve. He fought me on the Master Crystal, but bought one. Got such great results with it. He bought two. And then spent another $30,000 over a 10-year period on that one piece just on lasers. He bought a $10,000 chair and stereo system, which I sat in. And he had the most amazing contact experiences you can possibly. And this guy was a meat eater. I had no idea he could ever become a contactee. And he just flies in that chair. And actually, he came to many, many of my seminars down from Canada. He lives up in, Victoria, right above Seattle there.
Uh-huh.
And I could probably get you on the phone with him. But here's a guy that had about 20 lasers on his Firestar. Because the Firestar is what it does is it's a transmitter. You read about it in my book, right, in the
I read the chapter all about the Firestar and how it works and everything.
Yeah. Well, you remember Eric Von Däniken? You wrote Chariots of the Gods and all those books?
I've heard of him.
Okay, he used my Firestar down in Mallorca, the island in Spain. And so did a bunch of other world-famous contactees that had huge groups and had huge sightings. They all used Firestars, including Warner Ahrens over in Europe, who after 90 days had a spaceship, which we have on film, flying outside his house in Hamburg, Germany, hovering out there. We got it on a PAL video here.
Amazing.
Yeah, so
awesome.
You need a Firestar. I mean, I'm not saying you need anything, but I didn't have a Firestar, but I was, it was back, my contacts began in 1972 or 71, and there wasn't all this interference that goes on from Tavistock and all these different programs that are out there to block exactly what you're trying to do. They weren't trying to block it then. Now they are.
Right.
This cuts right through it. So I would really consider getting a Firestar, and I think I've got two or three of them in stock down there. You can work with Mikkel on that, and we can ship you one.
Well, see,
you can set it up down there. Just keep the shipping crate so that when you move, because it's big, that you can take it with you to your next location. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And that plus the Microstar, plus the, you've got the projectors,
projector?
Right?
No, I've just got one standalone projector.
Oh, wow, you need to get the other three.
You need to get yourself four of them.
Yeah, you need to get the other three. So you got about a little bit more stuff to get going, and then you're going to be walking in. You'll create yourself a portal, you know. We call them stargates.
Right. Well, what about, okay, let's talk about this then. One of the things I've noticed is, like I said, you know, where everything seems to work out for me. One of the things I've noticed is it seems like everything seems to work out as far as me getting, more products, like the standalone projector. I stepped up to that, and then I got the Microstar. I got the, biophoton machine, which is amazing. I love that machine.
Oh, yeah, that thing will get clean out your lymphatic system in a heartbeat. I mean, you're ready to go. I mean, you're on the launching pad right now. Your aura will be so clear when you start transmitting across space. Because the Firestar works on what's called the Einstein-Rosen bridge, which crosses space and time instantaneously, making space double back on itself and you as the mentalist focus on where you want to bring that bridge to, so you can make your living room down there in your condominium the same as Sannyasi's living room is on Era in the Pleiades. That's what the Fire Star will do. It sets the bridge across. Once you focus on it, you need to direct it. And that's what it will teach you to do. And the Microstar, whenever you're traveling, are you going to be traveling, or are you permanently set there for a while?
I'm pretty much here for a while. I'll do a little bit of traveling, but that's it.
Now, well, when you travel, always take that Microstar with you if you're staying overnight, because it's so compact.
Right, yeah.
Keep the energy up. Because every time you call me before, you were somewhere else.
I did a lot of traveling, late last year and early this year, but now I'm down here permanent, at least probably for the next 8 or 10 months,
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm kind of permanently set now. But now as far as for right now, working with the Microstar, and then also kind of manifesting myself to where I can get to the point to where I could get a Fire Star, three more standalone projectors.
Yeah, you're doing fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. It'll all happen in the right time.
Okay, I see that. I tell you what, I am seriously a believer, because I see that everything seems to work out for me to get, what I'm looking for, to get what I want, to be where I want, I mean, like I said, I never would have thought I'd have a condo that my company pays for right on the beach, in a great place
good.
Like Corpus Christi.
All right, we got to cut you off because we're running out of time. Steve, what'd you do to the clock? Steve's messing around with time again.
I know, and I tell you, I get to talking, and I'll talk your ear off. But
well, Steve does that too, but he messes around with time over there. I mean,
yeah,
could have had another 15 minutes, but Steve goofed it up somehow and got cut us out to about 2 minutes here.
All right. Well, listen, it's great talking to you and Dr. Bell, and I love your products. I promote them to anybody, and y'all have a good night. Steve, I'll give you a call over the weekend, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Be well. The weekend, okay?
Yeah, so anyway, we're going to, Steve, we're about done here.
Yes,
I don't know
we
if
are.
You know
that's
that
amazing.
Did you realize we're running out of time?
A lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, here's a typical example of a guy that had no money, none. Couldn't barely, I think we financed his first, receptor that he bought.
Yeah, it's amazing. Every time
and now he's got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
he's
every time he
more
buys
stuff
something,
than
he
I do
moves
even,
further
you
know?
On. Well, anyway, another example of someone that has used the quantum abilities of these products, these Pleiadian devices. I didn't do anything having to do with them to make his life better. Now he's got his own condominium. Hey, Steve, where's your condominium? When's your company going to buy you one?
I'm the company, and I got my own condominium, so I'm happy.
Oh, you're all... That's right. You got one now, too.
That's right.
Yeah, it's growing on everybody. All right. Well, I got to run. You got to run, and you'll be on tomorrow night, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Quick blast away. Where are you going to be? And then we got to run.
I'm going to be on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's the Steve Barish Healing Hour.
That's 3 o'clock California time.
Yes.
I can be reached at 1-800-729-2603. Paradigm.com is our website. Can't find that, type Dr. Fred Bell in the search engine. Thank you for watching and listening tonight, and we apologize for being very late and having lots of technical problems tonight. We do that around here sometimes.